Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back to the Legend of Rouge Cycling Podcast for the Basque Country Stage 1 TT. When I got back from my walk at about 12 today, I texted the group chat for the pod and I said, are we really going to do a pod for this? Because all the time slots for all the GC favorites were before coverage was even going to start. And I thought, I mean, typical cycling, I guess, but we've got Roglic here, Remco, Ayuso, Vingegaard, Pidcock, as of this morning, all these hitters here, and because of the weather conditions, they'd elected to go early, like the first slots that their team had, which is fine, I guess, but in the end, there's so much to talk about. This is, Benji, one of the, maybe not the best, but one of the most interesting stages this year so far.
Yeah, certainly, and this has got to be me cursing in a church, basically, by saying that as a Flemish guy, that I enjoyed this time trial that I couldn't see, because there was no footage of those early GC riders. The stage I actually enjoyed more than RVV, which, that's crazy to say, but I really did. Now, before we get to that, you said it, GC riders starting early because of the time slot. There was rain to be forecasted in the last portion of it. We see that before the race starts, and before that race starts, there's a recon session. A recon session where one of the riders that was doing a recon was caused up in a crash. Tom Pidcock crashed in the recon. On a tweet, it said that the wind blew him off his bike or something, or made him crash. The only thing I saw was a video of him being carried from the team bus to the ambulance. And I will say, first of all, I hope that he's relatively okay. It didn't look great, the fact that he needed to be carried away from the bus, but it was kind of peculiar in the way he was being carried away from the bus, right?
Yeah, that's sort of reading into it, not wanting to do it too much, but if it's a collarbone, you still walk around, right? So one assumes that walking was too painful to walk. Otherwise, if it's a back injury, you're not going to carry anyone like that. So hopefully the scans come back. I was really disappointed to hear it. I heard it actually from a rider doing a recon who went past and saw, is that a roundabout? Apparently it was windy, and the end of this TT is a descent and very, very fast in places. The riders also did a lot of recons yesterday. So they've done a recon, like recons on recons on recons for this TT. Some too many, Roglic said. And it's a real shame, because I really thought this parkour suited Pidcock and I wanted to see how he went. So that's just a big blow for Ineos and a shame for the race. So hopefully, hopefully something too serious, and at least he can be back for the Tour de France Worlds Olympics tilt that I assume is his peak of the season. But we miss out on seeing him against the big boys here today. But you're right, Benji, that weather was why we had all these early slots. And is anything else happened before the TT?
Well, first I do want to add, it's also a shame for potentially the Hill Classics, where I would have expected Tom Pidcock to show up, because he was good in Liège last year. I was looking forward to seeing him clash on Flèche Wallonne and so forth again. So that's also a period where I would be missing him if he has an injury out of this. So let's hope it was just not as bad as it looked. As simple as that. Before the stage started, nothing else when it comes to chaos. But
the UCI thing.
Go ahead. Oh, yeah.
So apparently, according to Remco, and then I also heard, obviously, is that an hour or two before the race, the UCI commissaires issued a release, and Remco said this as well to all the teams, that the radios had to be worn on their back. And teams have been wearing it on their front, because if you wear it on your back, I'm not an aero guy, but affects the drafting or aerodynamics, whereas you wear it on your front when you're closed up, the wind, it doesn't affect it as much. So Ryder's been wearing the radio on their front. Now, I don't know why that's the case, why they issued that 2 hours or 1 hour before a World Tour time trial starts. There's been
I don't get it.
There's been a fair gap. Like, there's you know, the guys doing the recon yesterday, it makes no sense to me. It's a bit amateur, frankly. And then the second thing on equipment is that Roglic did his TT today in the specialized head sock, which has been part of the specialized helmet they created. And the UCI deemed that in a release, well, I don't know, like a month ago, that it was banned from 2nd of April in that release, and Remco didn't wear it. But then what did Remco say after the TT?
So the order of things, you said it. In March, the UCI said, as a result, the head sock integrated into the TT5 helmet will no longer be permitted, effective from 2 April 2024. So tomorrow, not today. So according to that statement, still allowed today. We take a look at a column in Nieuwsblad, where Patrick Lefevre spoke about the helmets. And there, he was saying that it was April 1st. So Lefevre was under the assumption in that article, in that column, that it would be April 1st already banned. So in today's time trial. So Quickstep, as a consequence, must have assumed that it was banned today. But then Remco, after his time trial today, was also talking about the helmet. And he said the following. He was mentioning that they had apparently received some kind of email. And in that email, it would have stated that it was April 1st. An email sent to them by the UCI that it would be prohibited from April 1st. Next to that, Quickstep was apparently already told in Paris that it would be the last time they could wear it. So either someone at Quickstep read it wrong, heard it wrong, or the UCI misinformed Quickstep versus the official public release. And I don't know, I find it difficult to believe that Remco would make up both the email and the fact that they were told about it in Paris, you know?
It could be a lost in translation issue, in theory, like a more from the versus including type issue, but also maybe. You can get it in French too, and Remco and someone on the team, if they're all fluent French speakers, and the radios came out in French, Spanish, and English today, that communique, but there's no way Remco's making up that they said in Paris. Like, why would he make up that in Paris Nice they told him this the last time he can wear it? Now, that's okay. I'm going to take Remco's word for it. I think I believe that someone probably said that to him. That being said, you type in the helmet rule, the first GCN article that comes up from whoever says from the second. So,
fully agree.
It's then on Quickstep to also check. Now, we don't know that they didn't check, and then the UCI, if the UCI sent them an email confirming that he couldn't wear it on April 1, and Roglic got to wear it today, that's fucked up and very unfair. Because, the original release says it's banned from tomorrow, because it was basically so this was going to be the last World Tour TT. So very strange, and also this is against the backdrop of Michael Rogers just left recently. According to his LinkedIn post, the UCI, and he was the head of innovation and road and this sort of the approvals of this sort of thing. So I don't know who's taken his job, but that it's in flux. And the UCI, it's clear, Benji, the Visma helmets. Like, look at Bigham, okay? I'm biased, obviously, but look at Bigham.
Yeah.
When people started talking about the Visma helmets and the UCI announced the review into the Visma helmet, and he's got no horse in the Visma race, he said, what the hell? You just released rules a year ago. And now they don't like the way the helmets look. So the way this is all being managed is not the best from the UCI. And we see the evidence of that today with two teams apparently under different illusions as to what they're allowed to wear in the TT, which I think is not good, and the radio thing as well, 2 hours before the race, come on.
Fully agree. Radio thing as well, pretty amateur, that is just before the race. But I also agree with your statement that Quickstep should have known about the public statement of the UCI. And if that clearly said April 2nd, which it did, because we've spoken about it multiple times, then Quickstep should have been aware of that one. And if they then didn't ask to confirm towards the UCI, then it's also on them to not go with it, because Bora went with it. And they saw the public statement most likely, and maybe in the private statement, they might have not gotten that email from these. Anyway,
but you confusing. They would have seen them doing the recon yesterday, Bora, as well. And all the Jungles had it on too. So surely something should have clocked at Quickstep that they could have worn it.
There's a communication failure somewhere, that's for certain. But that's when it comes to the helmets. Did that have any consequence of the racing? As usual, really. I think we'll go through the actual...
But it was great to talk about.
I mean, maybe it did. Go ahead.
You know how we do it. We go straight to the results. Before coverage, Primoz Roglic, he's back. Storming TT, this time doesn't have to wait for his teammates, does it himself. Wins the TT 7 seconds ahead of Jay Vine, 10 seconds ahead of Schjelmoser, fourth off the podium. Remco Evenepoel, you would have got long odds for that today. On 11 seconds. Vingegaard, fifth on 15 seconds. Vauquelin, sixth, 16 seconds. Same time as Ayuso Schachmann. We'll talk about that. Hayter in ninth on 19 seconds, which you might think, oh, that makes about sense. No. We've got to talk about that as well. Yoni Zagira on 21 seconds. McNulty, 11th, 23. Del Toro, 24. We'll get into all the GC guys as well, but let's focus on Roglic first, Benji.
Wait. Let's focus on the parkour first. We haven't mentioned what the time trial looks like.
it's Basque.
It's Basque. 10K ITT from Irun to Irun. And it's a typical kind of Basque time trial. It's got pretty relatively flat first kilometer, but then it starts gradually climbing. And there's a climb in the middle of the parkour that is 1.7K at 5.1% Olaberia climb. Then it's a gradual, but it starts to become a proper descent towards the last 2 kilometers. Then in the last kilometer, it's slightly uphill towards the finish line. So that's what the 10K TT looks like. And going into this, I was expecting a good time trial from Remco. I was also expecting, if Roglic is good, this is the kind of time trial he'd do well on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, he crushes these TTs. He beat Remco in these TTs in 2022 or 3. Like, he, a 10K Basque hilly TT with punches, he's unbelievable. He's probably the best in the world. Actually, he's the best in the world.
Where's Astana? This was true. Where Lutsenko did well, right?
No, it was Dauphiné, no?
Same parkour, I mean. Similar
yeah,
parkour.
Yeah. It's like the Velasco. Velasco is like the pacing specialist. But the intermediate hill where the time check is has cobbles as well. And then the punch to the line is always, you look at the profile in these Basque stages, and we'll get to more of them in a second. But, and then I looked at that punch on TV. I was like, that looks steeper than I thought.
Yeah.
that's steeper than I thought. Also Peo Bilbao said it was like the wind conditions changed. He said in the Spanish interview, they changed completely from the recon. And so I think he said it was headwind the first half on the climbing bit, and they averaged 33 kilometers an hour, the best riders. And then the fast bit down, he was like, I was going full gas, taking, I was flying. He said he hit 90 kilometers an hour. So you had to take risks on the descent. And we saw riders like Schjelmoser, Bilbao do that, and others like Remco and Hayter, maybe not, but he, very tricky TT, technical at the start. It's just the classic Basque TT to open it up. And as I said, Roglic wins, Benji, but not without incident. We see, and it was weird, there was no TV coverage initially, although they look, and credit to them, I do want to say, like, they can't just, they get told, right, the day before the time slots of all the GC guys. They have a plane and a helicopter booked in for the live broadcast. They can't know in advance that the GC guys will go early. That being said, they locally recorded all the relevant moments of the big guys, and a lot of races don't do that or show that, including there's a lot of crosswind action we see in the Flanders Classics we never see.
Yep.
It's not locally recorded. So I do want to give partial credit there, even though, of course, it was frustrating to be refreshing PCS and First Cycling Live Center. But we see images of Roglic, Benji, after we know he's already in the P1, going right instead of left to the finish.
Yeah, exactly. In the last kilometer of a time trial, you've got this road where the cars go off the actual parkour. And Roglic thought he was a car. He was going so fast, he thought, vroom, vroom, I'm a car. And went straight off the road, did some sightseeing, turned back, lost about 8 to 10 seconds is my pure guess. Like, I didn't count it, so don't count me on that one. And then he went to the finish line. But there were also some timing issues, eh? Because as he went to the finish line, an Arkea rider finished in front of him. And first, he got the time of the Arkea rider. And then later it was changed and he lost 3 seconds of advantage on the other riders because they had accidentally given him the time of the Arkea rider. Sorry, but I feel like we're seeing a lot of timing problems in the last year of cycling.
And this is all pre-coverage too. And so there's no TV images. We're seeing timings changing, Roglic being added 3 seconds. And I'm like, is this like those what's that country in what? Central America where they're like putting the races on to get UCI points?
Is this Turkmenistan like, is not in Central America.
No, there was one, I swear. Is this like the
Venezuela?
Nah, it'll come to me. I'll look it up in a map in a second. But yeah, I was like, what's going on here? This is, I love the tin pot nature of the sport, but this is a bit too much. No, that's in Central Asia.
Yeah, but I have no clue what country you're talking about.
Where all the Roland riders were racing.
El Salvador, according to Luke.
Yeah, El Salvador. Is that there we go. I thought it started with a G. I think it was El Salvador, and I was just...
Gel Salvador.
I'm lost, man. I'm lost. I was going to say French Guyana. It definitely isn't French Guyana. Anyway, we'll move on. Guatemala?
What?
Guatemala.
What are we talking about?
Yeah,
again?
yeah. Guatemala. But I don't think it was Guatemala, but that's the country I was thinking of. That was El Salvador. Anyway, I was like, is it like one of those races? What's going on here? Is Yoni Segura going to have a T1? 25 seconds ahead of Roglic or something. Anyway, Roglic gets amended to 12:34. Imagine what he would have had, his lead, yeah, if he hadn't taken the wrong turn.
13:14?
He would be 12:24 he would have been on. I reckon he lost 10 seconds. Right. So he would have been up 25 on Vingegaard and 21 on Evenepoel. The next rider, and we see Vingegaard, he has no incident, but he's on 15 seconds to Roglic. Evenepoel, we see, is down 9 seconds at T1. I'm like, that's pretty shit, to be honest. Like, we just released an individual time trial rating system.
Yeah.
Like the ELO system. Remco is number one by far. Then it's Tarling. Of course, it varies by parkour, which the rating doesn't take into account, but Remco shouldn't be 9 seconds down at T1.
But
he crashed.
Does the ranking take into account crashes and riders taking a wrong corner in the last kilometer?
Well, in the aggregate, yes. So Remco's rating will decrease now, but it doesn't know that it's because he crashed.
Okay.
Not that sophisticated.
So Remco crashed, apparently in the second corner, according to himself. Yeah. Initially, it was reported to be the first corner. So shame on whoever said the wrong corner. But then Remco seemingly just back wheel slips out in the corner. There was a small little bit of a
metal crash in the corner just before.
But I don't think it's related to that as much as to the way he took the corner. And in the interview afterwards, Remco did say that he thinks he bended too much with his bike. I don't know how to say that in English.
He leant it over too much. And yes. You see in the corner just before, it's left, right. The left before, he already rechecked his line and stopped, and so already when I saw the video eventually, I was like, oh, here's the crash, because I saw him rechecking his line. Normally then they crash in that corner, like Sheffield did in Tirreno, I think.
Yeah.
But it was actually the next corner. He just laid over too much, went down, got straight back up. He almost, to be honest, I think he lost less time than Roglic, or he lost the same time as Roglic, but now you've got to do the whole TT after having crashed.
Yeah.
So I'd rather be Roglic in that situation, but
for
he's
sure.
not winning the TT. Especially with Rog smashing the downhill. So that's on Remco. He would have been hoping for much better. He would have been hoping for, I think, a lead of at least 20 seconds on Vingegaard and 10 seconds on Roglic. Now he's 11 seconds down on Roglic and 4 seconds ahead of Vingegaard. Yeah. I don't think that's where he wants to be. Ayuso, I think, I thought Ayuso was going to win, actually. Mm-hmm. But like, just doing the basic, like, maths in my head of the Tirreno TT, I was like, how can he do the flat TT? But he's a GC rider, like, surely here. But it's a different discipline with a couple of punchy hills, which Roglic excels at. So I think he might be a little bit disappointed with that, actually.
I will say that when it comes to Ayuso's time trial, if we take a look at the time from the start to T1, and then we take a look at the time from T1 to the finish line, it does surprise me that he's one of the slower riders in the second part, because I usually see Ayuso as that guy, the demon descender kind of guy that takes the risks. And he's 13th there, while we see the likes of Remco being 9th there, Roglic being 5th there in the second half of the time trial. Skelmose, as we'd expect, the second fastest in that. Who the fuck is first?
I think it's a glitch on PCS. Oh, no. It says Lucas Ozean is first.
Well.
But it says he went 6 seconds quicker than Skelmose in that second bit. Nah,
that seems unlikely.
I don't trust that. What is going on with these timings today? That's what I mean. But he was... unless this guy's actually the 34-year-old Polish rider on Arkea, unless he's the best descender in the history of cycling, I'd be very, very surprised. So I'm going to say Skelmose was quickest there. Yeah. And Sutterlin was third quickest there, I believe that, because he actually came 12th in the TT. And Vingegaard also obviously railed it, because Vingegaard was 4 seconds slower than Skelmose in that bit, and actually quicker by 2 seconds than Roglic on that part, although Roglic was in effect quicker. He also railed it because I keep forgetting he lost the time in the misstep. But Skelmose, obviously, he's an unbelievable descender in there. And you look at Remco, he's okay. Yeah, that same with McNulty, Benji. Look at McNulty. 7th at T1, 35th. Yeah. 35th, 5:52, losing 14 seconds. I thought he was going to be on for the win, losing a lot of time to Roglic and co in that part as well. So the descent was incredibly important. You needed some watts as well as some cojones, I think.
Yeah, for sure. When it comes to other riders, we've spoken about Remco, we've spoken about Roglic, we've spoken about a lot of riders so far, but I feel like there's also a few riders, like the Skelmose, very strong performance, seeing him do that in the second half of the time trial, not surprising. Jay Vine, the other way around, very good climb in the first half, then in the second half, a solid, good half, is how I describe it. What was shocking to me was Ineos here, because like we said, Pidcock taken out in the recon before the race started. Carlos Rodriguez, secondary GC rider. Hayter, opportunity to win the time trial. And then I look at their starting times, knowing that rain is coming at the end of the time trial, and Hayter is towards the end of their starting. It's their last rider, and that was shocking to me.
Before the race, it was shocking. Before the stage started, seeing that start, I saw 4:45, Hayter, and you look at the names around him, it's all like the domestiques of the other teams. There's no one who even like a Mark Soler who UAE might want to keep in GC theoretically. He's already gone an hour before this time slot. So, okay, maybe Pidcock would get the premium time slot. Okay, UAE also had three riders, McNulty, Vine, Ayuso, all of whom went way earlier and did very good time trials, particularly Vine. I don't want to glaze up. Vine coming second in this TT, beating Remco really and Vingegaard. Excellent time trial. Really, really good time trial from him. And but anyway, the Hayter time slot is, I'm not going to say unforgivable, but...
Yeah, I think it is.
Remember what I said last night, Benji? If I was the team, I wouldn't... If Hayter said, oh, I'm not sure if I'll go for it tomorrow, I wouldn't listen.
Yeah,
I would
for
just
sure.
put him in the best slot and say, you have...
Second
you are
best
our
slot.
Best...
Maybe.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I mean, in the first hour. You are our best chance of winning a World Tour stage tomorrow. No offense, but the team, it's the 1st of April, the only race they've won this year. Is a neutralized .1 TT on road bikes in Camino in February. And they were good in that. Their results in the classics were actually really good if you really look into the level of the guys, Sheffield Tarling. But on the paper, they need to win a World Tour race. And so Hayter being in that slot is just mind-boggling. And he's 1 second slower than Rog at T1.
Yeah.
And he's way ahead of the other guys. And then you've got this descent afterwards. Roglic, we know. Benji, I saw the T1. I was like, well, Roglic just gave 10 seconds away, taking the wrong turn. Hayter could win this. He's on the descent. It literally looks like it starts hailing on him. He's on a TT bike in technical bass corners. It's also been dry. So it starts raining. He can't stop just about. None of them could because it's like that first rain that hits all the dirt and shit on the road. And he loses. He, I don't know how much time he lost, but he must have lost so much time. He's 54th. He's 54th from T1 to the finish, which is, okay, you can say McNulty's a bad descender, but he lost another 5 seconds on him. And that has to be the rain. So maybe he doesn't win this TT. I'm not saying he wins, but he'd be within 10 seconds at least.
Yeah, he could have podiumed this time trial. And that doesn't happen because of the planning of Ineos when it comes to the prediction of the weather. And whether that is
They must have known the weather. That's why it's unacceptable because Pidcock was in the early slot. And
yeah, exactly. But I don't understand the decision making. It doesn't make any sense. I would have put Pidcock in first, then Hayter in second, Rodriguez in third, and then the rest of the squad can come.
Like, why is Kwiatkowski going before Hayter?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Like you could use the excuse of like, oh, we want someone to try the time trial before our leader, but you've got someone that can do that. If Pidcock crashes out, does that change anything when it comes to their order, or is that slot just gone for them?
I don't know, but probably not. I don't know. They probably hate us to stick in this slot, but very, very strange. Very, very, very strange to have. Like, Hayter is now at this point underrated. Like, to come within 1 second of Roglic at T1 with the burner TT Roglic did today, he must be in good shape, and he is an above average rider by far, still, legs wise. It is, you cannot be within a second of Roglic at T1 unless you're fucking moving.
His best skill is his time trial at the moment, is how I perceive Hayter. And that goes back from ages ago, because didn't he almost win the Yorkshire ITT?
Yeah, he's an elite time trial rider. He is.
He had a mechanical or something in that Yorkshire ITT World Championships, and then lost quite a bit of time. But man, like he's an elite ITT rider when it comes to his sprint. He's, in my opinion, the competition of Luis Aller in this race in the coming days.
But if he's closer, he could have gone into the jersey in the next coming days.
For sure.
As well. But now on 19 seconds, he can't. So, yeah, just a really big stuff up there, frankly. Vauquelin did another good TT. Sixth, he probably would have been hoping for a little bit better, but I think 16 seconds off Roglic is actually, with his equipment, that boy has got some punch, and he's a very, very good time trial rider, Vauquelin. Just going through the other GC guys, Bilbao and Gegen Hart, 25 and 26 seconds. That's sort of, and Buitrago 24. That's all fine. Hindley lost a bit more than he probably wanted, 34 seconds, but I guess he lost it to his teammate. So Bora have some good options to play with the leader jersey and Hindley there within half a minute. Gaudu 31 seconds and Sobrero on 30 seconds, also on Bora. In terms of some of the negatives, just scrolling, like still scrolling. Felix Gall had another shocker. He lost 1:15, which is just on a hilly TT. That's horrendous. And also Kuss was even worse. Kuss lost 1:27, which, like, that's more than I think he lost in the longer flat Vuelta TT, Benji.
Yep.
Which was like three times as long.
Ben Tollett, is that on purpose? Because that is the slowest.
Yeah, that's obviously not.
Lost?
That, That's obviously, yeah, he's last on 324. That's obviously not his level in the TT.
Yeah, because like he's a far better TT rider. I don't think he had the opportunity to really go for it. I think it's just pure domestique here in this race, of course, for Vingegaard. But like, I am looking forward to see whether we can see a level from him this year, because I feel like when it comes to Bentele, some at Gran Camino is domestique, but afterwards I've kind of been waiting, if that makes sense. So that's something I'm also somewhat looking forward to when it comes to potential Hill Classics and so forth. Vauquelin, what are your thoughts on that? Because the guy that really went in the first half, second half, not that fast, but still top 10 in this time trial. We speak about Vauquelin a lot and what he could do in the future, but is like trying to win something like Paris-Nice the next step for this guy?
Paris-Nice suits him. Paris-Nice is a really good race for him, particularly this year's parkour. Did he do it?
He didn't he sprint in Tirreno against Thingy?
Fuck me, they sent him to Tirreno. Where he came 10th, but he would have been... I mean, there is the TTT in Paris-Nice, but man, Paris-Nice suited him a lot better.
Yep.
He really is. His 5 to 8 minutes is really good. In terms of GC, I think he's what, 70 kilos plus? On the long climbs, I've not seen it. But in the Ardennes and in somewhere like that Paris-Nice parkour, yeah, I think they sent him to the wrong race, actually, now that I really think about it and look at it. But yeah, I think he's a really exciting rider, and I like Vauquelin. He's 22, mate, but they're going to make him a GC guy. It's just that is the law. You know how it is.
Talking about potential future GC guys, we forgot to talk about the legendary performance of Isaac Del Toro. My man suddenly showed up 8 seconds in front of Primoz Roglic at P1, and I was like, what?
At that point, I was like, nah, I don't believe anything in this race. Come on. We're seeing what? Because Roglic's time was so quick, and then Del Toro's gone 10 seconds quicker. I was like, what the hell? And then it got amended. I don't know if that was the first cycling issue or whether they were just relaying the results from the organizer, because they were refreshing faster than PCS, because no coverage. I was just spamming both with refresh. But yeah, Del Toro actually ends up just doing, an average TT. I think his punch is not as good as his steady state, in my opinion, which is strange to say given how he won the Tour Down Under stage.
Yeah.
But it's like in Tirreno and yeah. Or maybe
it feels
just,
like,
yeah.
Feels like he has a high recovery within the stage, if that makes sense, to the point that he's sometimes recovering during an effort. Is that a weird thing to say?
Yeah, or he's just...
Because like the Tour Down Under stage, Almeida, he was sprinting. He was sprinting against sprinters at intermediate sprints, trying to beat them. He attacked multiple times. Then at the finish line, he still won. And then on mountain finishes, he like, oh, la 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 la, at the start of a mountain. And at the end, he suddenly shows up fourth.
Yeah, that Tirreno, just Almeida's taught him well, obviously. I'm just looking for Landa lost about a minute, I think.
Yeah,
50, more or less. So, like, these are not big gaps in the grand scheme of things, but certainly Visma do not have the. What's clear? Bora have three riders within 30 seconds: Hindley, yeah. Sobrero, Roglic. Visma don't. Kuss is on 130, so this is all Vingegaard. Has to be for Vingegaard, one would think.
Yeah,
and then Landa's closer than Kuss, so Quickstep got two options, and Evenepoel is still ahead of Vingegaard. Where does C-Rod finish?
C-Rod finished
on 37 seconds behind Brandon Rivera. So
in front of
well
Van
Aanburen.
Fuck.
This is where they gave him the good time slot. and yeah.
I don't know. Looking at GC right now, going into the coming stages, we're talking about four versatile stages is how I would describe them. And then stage six is the real GC stage, the raid stage we always see with six medium mountains in it, with the Krabbelin steep climb in the middle where shit can hit the fan. That's a stage where GC will be decided 100%. But you said it, Bora has multiple riders there, but Roglic is kind of in the lead as well. So I've got a feeling that Remco will probably try something before the final stage right now with the way GC is set up, is how I see it. I think Remco has to, but Vingegaard might not. If I'm Remco, I'm not comfortable with 4 seconds on Jonas Vingegaard. And 11 seconds on Roglic, that depends on whether you have confidence for Roglic on a hard stage like stage six.
Yeah, which I think Bora's still learning. But it's very, very, it's poised in a perfect way, because now Roglic question mark as Paranisi collapsed. Well, he's clearly shown he has good legs here, so we have confirmation. Three big guns plus Ayuso, maybe three and four. Let's say four big guns, and they've got options. But let's not forget Vine is second here in GC, and Del Toro is 13th.
Does this time trial change your mind about what we will see on the last stage in this race? Because
there's a lot of racing before then.
Yeah, there's a lot of racing, but the next two stages for me is not necessarily GC action. Stage 4 and 5, there's one hill in the last 10, 15, 20 kilometers where shit can hit the fan.
I think Bora in a very good spot, and same with UAE. If Vine can stay in GC, because like if shit hits the fan on stage 6, Benji jumping. Hindley's good in that phase. You got Hindley jumping. What, then Kuss goes with him? Bora like, sweet, he's got a 1 minute lead.
Nah, I think it's just... I like, if we go to the last stage with this GC as if, let's pretend the next four stages don't happen.
Well, then, Visma can choo-choo.
Then I just expect Visma to choo-choo until Krabbelin, and then Vingegaard can launch it. It's still very early in the stage, but we've seen that Vingegaard can pull off a solo, and it's going to be mano a mano afterwards anyway. So then it depends on how good you are.
Yeah, I want to see. I think some of these stages are going to be harder than we necessarily think. There's also intermediate sprints to contend with. I don't know. I can't remember. Luke will tell me, but the ASO rules, there's two intermediate sprints tomorrow. Are they both count for time, and they're both 3-2-1? Or because RCS, one counts for time, one counts for Maglia points, but this is not
the
RCS.
The way I remember, I'm just saying this to fill up the time until Luke gives us the answer, but I remember there being a sprint, an intermediate sprint in ASO races, and a bonus sprint.
But this ain't ASO. This is Ozeta, which is, I actually did some research. This is just an independent Basque organizer for the promotion of sports.
Then why were we talking about ASO and RCS in the first place?
Because I don't know. I don't know what the rules are in this race. I'm trying to draw parallels.
Mate, there's an intermediate sprint tomorrow otherwise with 10K to go for some reason, so... But tomorrow.
One of them will count for seconds. One of them at least will count for seconds. So I think, on that stage tomorrow, I should... 161Ks, we go from Irun, which is Irun and Hondarribia. Beautiful beaches there, by the way. Love it. I love this area. And it goes into French Basque country to Canbo. I'm not going to say the French now. I'm going to say the Basque one. And it's hilly. There's only one categorized climb, 2.7Ks, 5.2%. But yeah, it's hilly all day, Benji, up and down. But it's like a draggy false side uphill finish. It doesn't look that severe to me. This looks like a Paris-Nice Mads Pedersen stage to me.
Yeah, I think so as well. I expect the stage to be a battle between breakaway riders and the control of Ineos and Caja Rural trying to get a sprint for Luis Aulard and Ethan Hayter.
So you're not getting away from Seb Berwick. Seb going to be on the front tomorrow for Aulard.
I'll be purely honest. With the amount of sprinters that are in this race and the amount of riders that could attack, it's not unrealistic that a breakaway wins.
Ineos got to go for Hayter tomorrow, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but can they control... Yeah, they probably can control whatever breakaway forms.
Let's not, like... We've been a bit harsh, but I'm sorry. They're still a... Castroviejo, Kwiatkowski, Frela. It's a good team, man.
But man, can they control a breakaway with the...
with Ander Okamika's cousin. Yeah, they can do it, I think.
Yeah, they should be able to.
In terms of the finish...
We're saying that, but Rodriguez isn't going to do it. So we're looking at Castro, Fraile, Kwiat, and Rivera. That should be enough. But who are you going to use for it? Rivera first, right?
I would get Rodriguez on the front if I have to. He ain't doing anything here. Sorry.
Is there only GC rider left? Unless you consider Hayter for GC, which I wouldn't.
No, but I don't care. No, but Castroviejo can manage a break of six guys on his own on this terrain.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not worried about that. I'm just looking at the finish. They go through and they do a loop around. They do the finish once at the intermediate sprint. It's a pretty uncomplicated finish from what I can see, which I think is a shame for Ineos, because if there was a corner close, I would use Fraile. You can use, first of all, it's uphill. Fraile is the lead out. given the other sprint teams here, is good. Fraile won that Andalusia stage last year ahead of UAE and Covey and Poggi going in a corner. And he and Kwiatkowski Fraile is a great lead out here. I'm going with Haider, all in, got to go for the win. And I think he's just as quick as Aular, and also they'll have him in better position.
I'm going for Orluis Aular, because otherwise this is boring if we don't pick different riders. And I also think it's realistic that Aular can beat Haider. He's done it before multiple times in Crow Race last year. So Aular's winning the stage ahead of Haider. But I would like to see someone attack in the last 2 kilometers after Domestiques from the other teams are being used to latch in the breakaway. I think it's not impossible that a late attack does something.
There's an intermediate sprint 10Ks from the finish through Espeleta, I think, and it's flat, and then there's a hill straight after it. I think if I was a smart rider, let's find me a smart rider. I'll give someone a free tactic. If I was Alex Aramburu, you know what I would do?
He just came back from injury, man. Okay. Give him a break.
Let me find someone else.
Vauquelin.
If I was Mara Schmidt, just came back from injury. No, Vauquelin's too good on GC. I'm going to let him up the road. if I was Vito Breit.
Grégoire.
If I was Bruno Amirel, if I was Paul Lapera, I would tack onto the back of the GC riders sprinting through that intermediate sprint.
Del Toro.
Del Toro? He's a GC threat. They will chase him. Paul Lapera. Paul Lapera is going to get on the back of the GC guys through that intermediate sprint. They're going to get a gap. The peloton switches off. It's just GC boys fighting it out. We saw this in Paranese. As soon as the GC guys, Roglic, Remco, stop, because they won't cooperate with each other for 99% chance, counter them, go over the top. First of all, there's a 50% chance that the peloton don't even realize you've attacked or gone over the top, because they just think they'll catch the GC guys and you're already gone. Yeah. It's genius. If you're a Baradur or someone, finesseur, tack onto the back of the GC guys through the intermediate sprint and then go before that hill.
Yep. Are we too harsh on Emils Leipens not being able to make it over this parkour?
If he's going to make it, this is the stage, because the climbs are not so long, but this is the stage he really should be making it, I think. But I'm going, Haider, you're going, Aular. I'm really excited for this week's racing. It is a big shame, of course, that Pidcock's out.
Yeah.
But we have 4 UAE riders in their GC. We have 3 Bora riders in GC, and Roglic looking fantastic. Remco's got Lando, and Remco looks good. Vingegaard, of course, is Vingegaard. And then there's the Bilbao's, Gagan Hart as well, who knows what they can do. They can, the stages that suit them are to come. So I'm very, very excited for this race, and maybe even tomorrow there's some action. I think we'll leave you with the strangest result of the day. Shackman 6th. That is his best result, Benji, in how long?
Yep. Very long.
So maybe 22?
Maybe 21?
Nah. In 22 he came like top 10 at Tour de France TT, a Rocco Maduro.
Okay.
No, because he in a hilly TT, he used to be very, very good and excellent. So
mate,
he's
Didn't he start off in Basque Country by cleaning 3 stages in their same tour or something?
Yes, in 2019.
Good old Mark Shockman.
He won the opening TT. So hopefully he's back in good shape, because if you've listened to some of the cycling podcast interviews with, forgive me if I'm wrong, if it was Denk or Aldag, but
they, Aldag.
Was it Aldag? Well, Shackman's been struggling with injuries or sickness, and hopefully he's back in good shape, because then, this is a really good result. He even came 9th in GP Indurain, and that is much better than 2023 on PCS ranking. He was the 470th rider, 2022 the 260th. So, he was like top 20 in 2020. So hopefully he's back in good shape, and Bora will be hoping for that too. They've got a very strong team. So Luke confirms both sprints have bonuses. The break will take the first one. Thanks, Luke. Until tomorrow, stage 2 recap, where Ethan Hayter reigns supreme. Just catching Paul Lapera. Ciao.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.